It's the holiday season, and 2006 is coming to an end rapidly. And during these year-end festivities, it is not uncommon for people to sit back and reflect on the year and all the things that you've done, good, bad, and indifferent. As the IT news cycle slows down for the year, which is a good thing, I thought it would be interesting to take this forward-looking podcast and look back. It is the holiday season, and it is a good time for storytelling. So this week, I will tell you the origin of this podcast, the blog, and really, why I do this. So sit back and enjoy SourceCast, episode 53. Excuse me for a moment while I situate this crackling fire in front of the microphone. You're probably saying, oh no, here's another gimmick episode. But this is a question that I have been asked a lot. Friends, family, coworkers, why do you do this, Joe? I waited a full year and a full 52 episodes before I shared this. I think the best way to tell this story is linear. I'm going to take you back to high school. I'm about to tell you something mildly embarrassing about myself. When I was a kid, 13-ish, I was really struggling with the idea of what to do with my life. This is pre-internet. Maybe we had dial-up AOL. I was attending a Catholic high school. I don't even think they had a computer in that school. And if they did, I definitely didn't see it. And I thought to myself, what does Superman do for a job? Not the Superman part, obviously. Like, the Clark Kent part. Batman's job of a billionaire seemed kind of impossible, so why not journalist? So, of course, I joined the school newspaper, and rightly labeled a nerd. And then I moved to New Jersey. I did the same exact thing, rinse and repeat. I think I mentioned this in previous podcasts before, but I actually had a journalism teacher in New Jersey who brought in an actual journalist. And this young woman painted not a horrible life, but a difficult one. One with lots of travel, low income, and this was 1995 or 6. And it didn't seem particularly appealing to me. I had another teacher that steered me into computers and ultimately Drexel University, which is the college that I went to. So at Drexel, I majored in information systems. There's an interesting distinction with information systems and computers. My family, my lovely Italian family, just says, hey, Joey's in computers. That's what he does. But really, information systems is the management of information. It is the organization of information. It just so happens that computing is the vehicle in which we use nowadays. Drexel was actually one of the first schools to have library sciences, and this particular major had origins in library sciences. And I think it's an important distinction because it had an impact on the way I think about things, the way I organize data. And it's one of the reasons why I do this. I graduated early, I got a job, and during my employment at said company, I also opened up a computer repair shop. I say this to solidify my technical reputation. I ran that store for 3 or 4 years, and it was a long 3 or 4 years. Hard to keep the doors open. We officially closed the store in 2006, and the pending economic disaster was in its early stages. During that time, I was in an IT service management group, and we didn't really have very clear definition of function. And it made me nervous because the economy was starting to tank. I'm in this disposable job. At least I thought it was disposable, and I was constantly worried that someone was going to figure it out. And I expressed these concerns with my management and my leaders, and they said, keep your head down, keep doing hard work, and you'll be fine. And I listened to them, and they were right. But there's a lesson to be learned in that, and I'm probably going to butcher the concept of it, but I'm not a dreamer. I'm not someone who says follow your passions. I don't think that your day job should be the perfect culmination and most satisfying experience of your life. I think it's great if you can achieve that, but I think it's somewhat unrealistic. I think we all have an opportunity to make our jobs better, to make our work environments better. We have to take accountability to improve our own situations. We shouldn't expect it to be handed to us. So when I said I was in a department that I didn't think had a clear goal or focus, 26-year-old me tucked my head in and hoped for the best. 36-year-old me has a very different perspective of this, and that's another aspect of this podcast. Eventually, I switched teams and found myself in a new career path in supply chain management, which I'm very happy to be in. It's a job that lets me combine a lot of my skill sets to help my customers. And eventually, within that job, I was given the opportunity to lead a team of people just out of college, or in some cases, still in college. and they're probably listening to this right now. And when you're in your job, it's easy to get into a groove where you just do the things that you're being asked to do, file the paperwork, move on to the next thing. It's easy to keep your head down and grind away. I wanted to remind my team and myself that you have to look up. You have to look for trends and external sources of data, and you shouldn't expect things to be spoon-fed. So a couple of years ago, I started surfing the internet and looking for core information about the suppliers that we worked with. News articles, public information. And I started sending them an email every week, sort of a summary. And I said, dig. Keep looking for stuff like this. Find pressure points. Understand the why of the behaviors of our suppliers. If you know supplier A is having a bad quarter, that would explain why they're so aggressive at quarter end to try to get sales. So they read my little newsletter. And after a couple of months, I said, maybe email isn't the best forum for this because it would be nice to go back and be able to search it. So maybe I'll put it on a blog. And all the while, still encouraging, do your research, look for the pressure points. So the newsletter turned into a blog, a very small lockdown blog. And every once in a while, I would sprinkle in some data point from the weekend newsletter into my meetings with the suppliers. A little wink, wink, nod, nod to my team to let them know you can use this stuff. And I did the blog for a year and a half. Some other coworkers found out about it. They started reading it. Around 2 years ago, I got the itch to do a podcast. I got a microphone on my computer, started recording, and it was terrible. The one thing that I discovered is that you have to have consistent content. And there was nothing particularly interesting about my lifestyle that I could pull from to do a weekly or even monthly podcast on a consistent basis. And then it dawned on me that the hours of research that I spent on the blog would be good cannon fodder for a podcast. When I started this podcast, I envisioned this to be an interview podcast. I would reach out to colleagues initially, do interviews with them about their experiences, things that they can share with younger workers, and then eventually, with that body of work, expand to people that I didn't know. That was the plan. But absolutely nobody wanted to do interviews with me. Nobody wanted to sit down. This is even friends and colleagues. Nobody wanted to do it. I even invested in a mixing board and some pretty decent technology to facilitate the ability to record calls and Skypes and that sort of thing, and I never used it. Eventually, I convinced a couple of the younger guys that I know and work with and are friends with me to do more of a roundtable podcast. And that was really just to prove out the technology. And the lesson I took away from that was you can't rely on anybody. If you're serious about doing this podcast, you have to figure it out yourself. And you have to figure out what your content is, what your message is. The other thing that I figured out, if you go back and listen to the first 30 episodes of the podcast, it was some variation of me reading the news that I delivered on the blog. I got tired of listening to that, so I couldn't imagine what my potential audience was thinking. To be fair to myself, I sort of envisioned coworkers on their way to work, maybe listening to a 15-minute episode to catch up on the news. Especially if they didn't have time to read it, they can listen to it on their car ride into work. But that's a lot of regurgitation of existing material. The blog is the source material for the podcast, and I purposely keep it relatively clean of opinion. I want it to be a reference index. But it started to dawn on me that the podcast could actually be a place where I can interject my opinions, start to make connections, and tell a story. I'm not saying I'm good at it, but that's the intent, and that has been the intent for the last few months. Tell a story. I think storytelling is something that is severely lacking in corporate workspaces. We like reports, we like our spreadsheets, and our pie charts. But ultimately, what's the narrative? In supply chain, our role is not to be the decision makers. People within supply chain are facilitators, they're collaborators, they're conveners. This podcast takes that idea and kicks it up a notch. Going back to my high school newspaper days, I've realized that it is my job to be an informer, to get information to my customers, to make them better informed, to make better decisions. This podcast is an experiment on another vehicle to get that information out to those people with a little less restriction. And it's a culmination of my high school aspirations of journalism and my college degree in information systems, getting information organized, getting it out to people in an easy, consumable format. With a mixture of the disaster of a computer store that I owned for 3 years, that kind of reignited my passion for technology. So that's what this podcast is. It's a stew of my professional work experiences, all tossed together, with the hopes of making something new and valuable for the people that I work for, I work with, and people I might work with in the future. So if you've gotten this far in the podcast, thank you for listening. I've been doing a lot of thank yous the last few weeks, but it's important to let people know that. I do this podcast for my friends and coworkers, but I also do it for myself because it helps me understand my role and my job better. And it gives me an opportunity to uniquely define my role. So enjoy this time of the year. Enjoy the cold weather. Enjoy the lights. Enjoy the ridiculous 10,000 calorie meals. And be ready to go back to work in January. So happy holidays, happy new year, and again, thank you. you will most definitely be hearing more from me in 2017.